Outkick the coverage live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for Outkick the coverage at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
So how did it happen? What was going on? Why was he so wide open? We'll get into all of that here coming up in just a couple of moments from now. It is Outkick the Coverage here, Fox Sports Radio. LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox here on FSR. You can hang out with us on the iHeartRadio app. You can find us on hundreds of Fox Sports Radio affiliates and wherever you are, making us a part of your Tuesday morning. We appreciate you doing so. We're taking you all the way up until 9 a.m. Eastern time, 6 o'clock Pacific, through the end of the hour. And a friendly reminder, in about 20 minutes from now, Petros Papadakis is going to join us as he completely lays waste to the USC football program. If you have not heard his takes on USC, they are brutally honest. He is a USC alum. His father, his uncle, all USC alum. And he nobody you know, takes shots at their old at their alma mater like Petros does. This will be a lot of
fun. Is
that
a good thing?
Yeah, it is. It's entertaining.
He's been informing us of this for quite some time.
Yes. Yeah.
He has been telling us that this day was coming. He's been prophetic. I mean, he really is. He's prophesized it, that this day was rapidly approaching us. I don't know how many people there in L.A. want to believe him. And so I think when he comes on, we need to give him a round of applause.
Yeah, I agree.
He has literally been saying this for about, I don't know, the past few years about this day was coming. And now it's going to be interesting to see how the LA media handles it. And if they give him the same reception, I think we're going to give Petros.
Yeah, I agree. So we will celebrate the old P coming up here in about 20
Pops.
Minutes from now on Fox Sports Radio. All right, so the game last night, that was a hell of a game, a lot of fun. If I were a Raider fan or a Ravens fan, that's just you've got to be exhausted at this point. Just all the back and forth goes to overtime. Raiders think they have the game won. Then there's a false start. Then they get pushed back. Then they throw an interception. Then Baltimore gets it back, but they fumble. The Raiders get it back. The whole thing was complete chaos. The setup, just the scene there, fans were excited. They were fired up about it. So the debut of that stadium and the Raiders with full capacity on Monday Night Football did not disappoint. The Raiders get it done in overtime, and it was a touchdown pass to Zay Jones to win it and ice the game in OT for Las Vegas. And so afterwards, head coach John Gruden talked about the play and how it got done.
I don't want to get into all the specifics, but we knew they were going to all out blitz. That's their history. That's what they do. You can forget about the throw and the catch. It's the protection. It was a great pickup by our guys, and Derek threw the ball retreating. It was just a heck of a play against an all out blitz with the game on the line. But we had run a version of that play earlier, yes.
So that was the play call there. Although I am curious, if he knew what was going to happen there, how come they were – that was at the point they were trying to attempt a kick, correct? And then they brought the offense back out on the field because the play clock was running down to try and get the 5 yards back, because I think John Gruden mentioned after the game that the kicker was not ready at that time, that he was kicking the ball into the net. So, well, listen, LeVar, I know,
I mean,
you...
both things can be true.
Yeah, I mean...
You do realize that, right?
Yeah, no,
they could have known what they're going to do in that situation, but also what he said about the kicking situation could be true.
I mean, I don't know if you know this or not, but both things could be true in that situation.
You know. I like to let you both know that, you know, there's the idea and the thought that both things could be true.
Good
you know?
Point.
I just want you and you know Brady to know that. You know,
thank you.
But by the way,
one does not have to be incorrect for the other one to be correct.
Okay, did you see the DB give up on that catch?
He just
by
wasn't
Zay
going
Jones.
To catch him. He didn't give up.
I know, but at least make it look
did,
like
he
you
did,
were trying.
He did give up, but he just wasn't going to. He was.
Yeah, but at least
he didn't have another gear.
At least show some fake hustle. You know, at least make it seem like you're not giving up. You know, I mean, I just think, you know, the optics of it all. I mean, at least make it seem like you're not going to give it up would be the way to go there. You know,
I mean, that's just a testament to how much faster the guy in front of him was moving.
Did Baltimore seem tired? They seemed like they were a little bit gassed towards the end of that game.
Their defense did a little bit, yeah.
It just seemed a little worn out towards the end of that game there, LeVar.
I guess they ran out of gas. I mean, it was a long West Coast game.
I mean,
it was a long game, hard-fought game.
I mean, Brady's been trying to push this narrative, but I'm not here to out anybody on the air here. But I think this is a time to have this conversation. Brady's been trying to push this narrative that Baltimore was really going for it in the preseason because they wanted to set this record. All right, so that was Brady Quinn who was pushing that narrative.
I hate you so much. I don't know why he feels he needs to do this. I think it's one of the funniest things that Jonas does is when he'll get he gets fixated on Baltimore gives a crap about having the record for preseason wins. There's a culture, there's a demeanor in which I think they want to take the field every time they go play a game. I don't think they're if you could have the record in preseason or have all your running backs healthy, which would you choose? Right. I think they choose the healthy running backs. That's just me, though.
Not only that, but they do. You know, the NFL does a great job of making everything a record. You ever notice that?
Yeah.
There is constantly some type of record that's being broken.
Well, I think they got that from baseball, right?
I would be curious to know how many records exist, how many categories.
I don't know if you know this, and Jonas has told me this. Jonas said this is true.
I love
we are the highest rated morning radio show in this time slot on this channel.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Can you believe it? Right now, as we speak.
I mean, now on this channel, no one is better.
Yeah.
I kind of like that.
Yeah.
One doesn't have to be wrong for the other to be correct. I'm just saying, we're all on lockstep.
There are certain things that you can do to hype up yourself that people can't dispute, and that's the trick. So if I were to tell you, I have the highest rated weekend overnight radio show in the history of Fox Sports Radio, if no other show was on and I was the only person on the air,
then
that's
you
true.
Would not be lying.
Yeah, that is a factual statement.
Yes.
And so you just try and find...
I mean, you're over embellishing. What your accomplishment
that's fine.
Is.
Yeah, listen.
But at the same time, it doesn't matter because you're not wrong. You're over embellishing and you being the number one rated show, if that's the only show at that time slot, they're both, it's okay for them to both be okay. You know?
It's like if we were to say, if we were voted the best, fill-in show in the history of sports talk radio, and somebody said, well, who voted for that? I would just say kissmyass.com. That's who voted for it.
Oh, okay.
Like, we don't need to give you everything here.
Right.
All right, you take what we say as gospel. Speaking of compliments that were being thrown out last night, John Gruden didn't have one for Darren Waller. Darren Waller was awesome last night.
Good player.
Really good player. Yeah. And John Gruden had this to say afterwards.
I thought he mishandled a ball or two, uncharacteristically. He had a penalty called back, a big catch and run. He's the best player I've ever coached, so I'm going to continue to look for him. And sorry about that, Vic, but he's a hell of a player. He deserves some good looks.
Derek Brooks was pretty good, though.
Derek Brooks was pretty good.
Yeah.
Warren Sapp is pretty good.
Just wondering, LeVar, what's
Simeon
that all about?
Simeon Rice is pretty good.
Just wondering what that's all about there, LeVar.
I really don't know. Rondé Barber,
those
Raiders teams.
I mean,
didn't he have Tim Brown?
Yeah.
Charles Woodson.
Pretty good.
Yeah, Charles Woodson, who was there last night.
Was Jerry Rice there when Gruden was there? Did he come afterwards?
I think he was.
Jerry Rice there? Because I know Jerry Rice was on the Callahan Raider team.
You might be right.
Yeah, I'm just – listen. I'm just wondering, LeVar, why
that's
he would,
a pretty know. That's a pretty bold statement and kind of disrespectful, honestly. That's just blatantly disrespectful.
I mean, I can see how he thinks that, though, because they targeted him 19 times. I mean, Roberto can chime in on this. He was like, this is too much.
Roberto's hungover. He can't at the moment.
If you think he's the greatest player you've ever coached, he might be up for 15, 20 targets a game at this point.
Yeah, I mean, look, we do have Raider fans in the building. So, Roberto, who's the best player John Gruden's ever coached? Just off the top of your head, if you had to come up with somebody.
Tim Brown.
Okay, so Tim Brown. Danny, who's the best player John Gruden's ever coached?
Rich Gannon.
Okay. All right, so Rich Gannon's
come on. That was 1 year, dude.
Yeah, come on, yeah.
That's a terrible
MVP, baby.
Danny's was funny.
Yeah, 1 year because he had Tim Brown.
Birdo really believes that. That's funny.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just funny, man. Oh, so you're saying Tim Brown's better than Charles Woodson? overall as a player?
Charles Woodson, yeah. Charles Woodson. I changed my mind.
By the way, did you guys see Charles Woodson just hammering wine?
I love Charles Woodson. Charles Woodson is my favorite.
Who was he sitting next to in the bar? Who was that up in the booth?
Come on, man.
That's who he was sitting next to.
Bucky Larson. Bucky Larson. I feel a little bit let down here because I had been hearing from LeVar about how great Derrick Brooks was, and then John Gruden comes in, doesn't even put a blinker on, swerves right into LeVar's lane and says that Darren Waller's better than
easily.
I'm not according to the guy who coached him.
One of the greatest football players of all time.
I'm not according to the guy who coached him there, LeVar. I don't know, man. Like, I'm just, I'm trying to figure out what's going on.
Listen to what I just said. He's easily one of the greatest football players of all time.
Yeah. Like, at any level.
Is Waller even top 10 player that ever played for John Gruden?
I mean, where was he at? Where was he on the list for top 100 voted by players?
I don't know.
What number was he?
I don't know. Like,
he hasn't even played long enough, right, to like even be in consideration for this. Is that fair to say?
Yes. Maybe, but we were talking about qualifiers earlier as we came into the segment and into the show. Maybe the qualifier is Chucky means this time around in his coaching career and his new life of coaching. He is the greatest player, which that would include Khalil. Well, he kind of coached Khalil Mack. He kind of coached Amari Cooper, kind of. You know, it's like he kind of had some players.
Yeah. Waller was number 35 on the NFL top 100.
35. All right. Didn't even break top 10. Yeah. And he's the greatest player you've ever coached. I wonder where Charles Woodson or Derrick Brooks or Warren Sapp would be
or
on
Bucky
that
Larson.
List.
Or Timmy Brown.
Or Bucky Larson.
John Lynch. You know, John Lynch as well, too.
Bucky Larson.
It's got to be the greatest name of all time, by the way.
It's got to be the greatest drop, that sound that you make.
Yeah, I'm not doing it.
Yeah, why not?
I'm not doing it. I'm going to start doing that after I make a good point. Like, when I make a good point, like, oh, my gosh. I knew that Ryan Fitzpatrick would not be able to last as the starting quarterback for the Washington football team. That's how I'm going to make all my points from here on out.
Oh, man.
Let's go to break, Jonas.
It is Outkick the Coverage here at Fox Sports Radio.
This is Outkick the Coverage.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the moment you've all been waiting for. This man is standing by with a plethora of weaponry and things
Pinjatas.
To take out the USC football program. Like, I think we should present the great Petros Papadakis here, AM570 LA Sports, Fox College
bands.
Football analyst.
Socks and bands.
Yeah, by the way, Petros, my sister watches you on the challenge on KNBC out here, and she loves your shoe and sock game.
And his shoe game this weekend.
Yeah, loves your shoe and sock game.
We have a relationship with the Steve Van Doren from Vans.
Can I get a plug, man? I wear Vans, man. You had them glittery, them like they were just blinged out.
What size are you?
13, brother.
I am too. I will send you those shoes.
Yeah.
Look at you, LeVar.
I will put them in the box and send them. Nice. Although my daughter, like one of her like weird like slime ball toys exploded on those and I washed them off. But I think they're okay.
I mean, you can't complain about getting game-worn shoes from Pops. I mean, I'm good, man.
I'll have them sent along. I'm also a 13 with my big flat.
Yeah, I'll keep that in mind every time I see a good pair on.
Petros, slow day for USC yesterday. You want to recap the Stanford game, or should we talk about the news that you predicted and were one of the few people that were telling everybody as the hype train was going for USC like it does every year? This isn't what it seems. So we must give you a round of applause.
There
Petros Papadakis called this.
Oh, there it is.
He called this a long time ago.
Way to call it, Pops.
Stand up, everyone.
Way to call it, Pops.
Yeah.
We are standing up for you, Pops.
The thing that's really interesting to me and the thing that really jumped out to me about the whole thing was the fact that this has not been any different for the last 7 years, basically, under Clay Helton. This is the same way the team plays wins and or loses. There was nothing in that game that I saw, and I watched a whole game when I got home because we did the Beavs. There was nothing that I saw that was surprising or anything that was out of the ordinary. But the thing that was different was all of a sudden the LA media that usually protected Clay Helton for the access to a place that people want to be around, USC, which has become much more of a fan site type of media coverage thing than an actual real media coverage of the place. And I'll give you a couple of examples of that in a moment. But all of that stuff turned on a dime, you know. And if you live in LA and you're part of the media like you are, both of you guys, you kind of were like, what? Wait a minute, what happened? Like, that's how I felt. I was like, wait, somebody at SC said, well, now it's okay to go after Clay Helton. We're going to fire him. And all the knives came out, and suddenly they fired him. And then all the knives went back in, and now Pete Thamel and all these people are writing about how the players are in tears, and he was such a beloved man and one of the finest human beings of all time. He fired 16 assistant coaches in 7 years, guys. I mean, those guys have families too. That to me is just amazing. I mean, two coaches got fired at my tenure at USC, and one of them was John Robinson, who was a legendary coach there and had won a national title, if not two. And they fired him on an answering machine. If you remember that story, Mike Garrett fired him on an answering machine. And Paul Hackett, my other coach, when he got fired, I remember just the media chasing him, and he was doing like an Olympic speed walk to the car as they chased him and yelled at him on his way to the car. And now we have Pete Thamel talking about players in tears and one of the finest human beings, and Clay Helton sending a thank you tweet to USC, and USC sending a thank you tweet to Clay Helton. It's like, oh my God, you fired the guy in September after the second game. Do you know how hard it is to get fired in September? Save the goddamn tears.
Well, and here's the funny thing about this is, it's the third time.
Yeah, third time.
You fired Sark in the season. You fired Lane Kiffin in the season, which, oh, by the way, it seems like, you know, they're onto something good. Like, maybe it's not them. Maybe it's you. Like, can you say that to USC at this point?
Well, this has all happened because they've hired coaches that they've perceived at the time that they could control, because Pete Carroll was out of control. So it stands to reason that they are gun-shy to give anybody full control, but that's how football programs work. So they went out and hired Lane Kiffin, who got fired in September. That's hard. Sark barely made it out of September, got fired in October. Jeez. So the last three head coaches at USC have been fired mid-season. That's unheard of. So there's an unbelievable amount of chaos there. And I use that word too much, but this really is unbelievable. And it comes from this huge, giant bureaucracy that they created for themselves. Mm. Now, the guy that's in charge at USC, I'm not talking about the president of the university, I'm not talking about the AD. I'm talking about a guy named Rick Caruso. He seems to have cut through some of the red tape on the board, and maybe they'll be able to actually hire a coach with a vision that will staff, and they'll allow him to staff, and they'll try to create a football juggernaut in the next 3 years when there's leverage for the Pac-12 TV deal, and they need to wake up this sleeping giant. So I think everybody's on the same page with that at USC, but it'll be an interesting season from here on out.
Pops, to say everybody's on the same page at this point.
Well, I'm talking about above them.
Okay, but when, again, I think when Brady mentioned bureaucracy earlier, you just doubled down on it, not even knowing. So that makes it even more interesting that you guys are using the same words in a bureaucracy. You know, we all know that it's almost made or constructed where no one will ever agree with one another, right? It's always going to be yes for this person, no for that person, for whatever reason it may be. And ultimately, it comes down to egos, in my humble estimation. And when I look at how USC has handled things, it's 100% ego-driven. You know, they can say, oh, well, I want the best for this school, or I want to get the best results. But we continue to see where coaches are not really in a prime position to have success at USC, aren't given the time, aren't whatever it may be, because the resources are there, right? The resources are 100% there. How can we sit here and really feel confident that USC can actually turn it around and become what it has been in its glory days? I don't have confidence in that.
Well, I mean, they have to hire. You can't run a football program like this. You can't run a football program where the head coach is not allowed to hire anybody and doesn't call plays and basically is just a figurehead for the AD to try to move things around him. It happened because the board wouldn't allow Mike Bone, who was hired to fire Clay Helton, to fire Clay Helton. You know, one of the false narratives surrounding Clay Helton is that he was connected to Pete Carroll. He was not. Kiffin worked for Carroll. Sark worked for Carroll. Kiffin brought Helton in after Pete Carroll was already in Seattle. The only thing Clay Helton was ever connected to at USC is the chaos that you're speaking of, LeVar. Mm-hmm. So it's been the thing that really Clay Helton is who he is. He never showed anybody he was anything different. It's the Los Angeles media that sat here and some of the national media that sat here and told everybody that this was okay while the conference and the program was in utter chaos. That's the real thing that bothered me. And they tried to disparage voices like mine that were dissenting voices and to say bad things about him and spread rumors and stuff like that because they didn't like what was being said, only to turn around and admit exactly what was being said. It's been a frustrating situation. But like I said, if the red tape in the board of trust, I wish it wasn't such a complicated situation.
Sounds like it.
And I wish these weren't the biggest controversies USC has. If you look up Dr. Tyndall or Dr. The guy, at the optometrist guy with the hooker in Huntington Beach, I mean, they have some really, really bad things.
Did they show a picture of the hooker?
Petrus, tell me more.
Yeah, you could see
Petrus, tell me more about that.
Yeah. Was it impressive?
Yeah, what are we looking
at? Pulafito was the name. He's one of the he was a billion-dollar fundraiser.
A lot of Italians so far there, Petrus. What's happening there?
I don't know what he was, but he was he loved Somali and hooker. these are stories, but it's not that those things happened. It's that USC was active in helping cover them up. Mm. And the president of the university that perpetuated all that stuff is still on campus, Max Nikias. They still built an office for him. You know, USC's always been about money, but it became grossly and hyperactively about money like a monster, like the thing at the end of Akira, in the last maybe 12 years. And that's what caused a lot of these problems. I think they recognize that to a certain degree, and I think they understand that if you're going to hire a real football coach, you have to allow him to pay assistance. USC's not an easy place to get assistance, to be honest, because where are you going to live? You have to live somewhere where you're commuting, and housing is not cheap here. So you got to be paid to come here and coordinate offense or defense. And they've got to go get those
Where
guys.
Do the coaches live when you coach at
All
USC?
Over the place.
Manhattan Beach?
South Bay, the
South
Valley.
Bay. Yeah,
South Bay. Manhattan Beach, Hermosa.
Yeah.
Palos Verdes here where I am. Some down in Orange County. I remember Hugh Jack, your boy.
Yeah.
And Ed Ogeron lived, you know, in some of those like pink houses that they all look the same down in Orange County.
Okay. They come all the way from Orange County.
Some people do. People come from all over. You know, UCLA is even more complicated.
Right.
Where are you going to live there? I mean, you either live in West L.A. where Gwyneth Paltrow is your neighbor, or
is expensive unless you're getting in one of those apartments, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I don't know.
In the corridor.
Worth it. She's worth
you're
it,
so
probably.
Funny. That's
Paltrow?
Funny.
Paltrow?
What? Yeah. We'll be neighbors with her. It'd be awesome.
Oh, okay.
Probably the worst thing that could ever. That may be worse than Clay Helton.
I learned something about Brady.
Is that worse than me listening to Imagine Dragons the other day?
I like Imagine
Dragons. The worst
Dragons.
thing is Oh, oh Jesus. I cut Clay Helton off on PV Drive the other day. He lives in around here, and that wasn't good. I mean, I mean enough to
wait,
the guy.
Wait, hold on.
You cut him off.
I didn't mean to. You know, I'm not too clear behind the wheel, and they have this giant truck that they make me drive because I work for Chevy, and I just cut him off.
Oh, wow.
He looked kind of like Mr. Incredible, you know, in his car.
Yeah, that's an important question, Brady.
Pre-firing or post-firing?
Yeah, it wasn't yesterday. Okay. So, yeah. But
you knew he was going to get fired, so yeah, you gave him the cutoff before.
Well, everybody's going to get fired.
Before he got cut off.
Everybody's just waiting to get fired. I mean, let's be honest. Yeah.
That is true.
But especially at USC.
Yeah, and we'll see what happens now. I mean, the power struggle that's going to happen now is amazing. Because they called Dante Williams to be the head coach, who's a recruiter and a secondary coach, not a coordinator, and he's new there. But he's from Los Angeles. And then you have Todd Orlando, the D coordinator, he looks like the PE teacher that said, kick me in the jimmy, you know, to Beavis and Butthead. And then Graham Harrell, who pretty much thinks, you know, that the air raid offense is like the New Testament of the Bible. And those three guys are going to be vying for power and control over a very talented football team for the next 2.5 months, which is going to be pretty interesting.
Top, you mentioned recruiting. How does this play out for recruitment, and how does it play out for the kids that are – I mean, the transfer portal has become so relevant and so prominent. I mean, this is an opportunity for people to raid the cupboard, so to speak, in USC. Yeah, I mean, the wolves are out, you got to assume, right?
Yeah.
They're in the in-house.
But you can reverse the wolf, you know, when you hire a coach, right? The thing that concerns me more, because you've seen coaching changes at your alma mater and controversy.
Sure. Not many.
God knows.
But a horrible controversy for certain. Yeah,
but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And you know, people always say, we can't fire this guy. What about the recruits? You know, and they said that about Kiffin. They said that about Sark. And then saying it about not that you're saying that about Helton, but the letters at a place like USC recruit themselves.
Yeah,
which is a testament as to why Clay Helton never had a top five or top 10 recruiting class, which he had a few. People want to go to USC. It doesn't matter who the coach is, and I've seen it my entire life. And you can't tell me that it's not true. What the thing that concerns me is a little bit like UCLA. UCLA had what they had under Mora. It fell apart, and they hired Chip Kelly. Chip Kelly is really different. He runs a football practice differently than most people.
I love the way he runs his practices.
It's crazy, and it was a really intense and hard sea change for the kids in that program, and they had massive transfers. That kid Jalen Phillips quit football and then transferred to Miami and became a top five pick. So, and there was negative press about it, and they weren't great on the field. And now all of a sudden, that you look at their bodies, you look at the way they're coming off the ball, and you look at the way they beat LSU at the line of scrimmage, you say, oh my God, not only did they develop the fronts, but this system works. It was just really painful.
And it takes time. But it takes
a lot of time.
See, that's why I feel
USC
doesn't give that time.
Well, they run an air raid. You know, it's like, so they don't really have tight ends that know how to block. So if you don't have that on offense, you don't practice against it on defense, and you get your ass run over when you play against Notre Dame or somebody that knows how to run the football. So you feel like an idiot. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be painful to overcome whoever they hire with the personnel they have. So maybe a mass exodus and more people coming in might not be a bad thing, but there's a risk there too, you know, to lose some of your culture. You become a little bit like the team in the longest yard, you know, just dudes coming off a bus.
I actually think the portal could work in their favor as much as it gets some of these guys out. It could work in their favor. I need to ask you this. Because my understanding is if Urban Meyer wanted the USC job, he could have had it. And I know there was some red tape and some things to go through, but that was my understanding. Because
that wasn't mine.
So
that's okay. Oh. You know him better than I do.
The funny thing is now that it is open, even though he's an NFL head coach, you get people who are speculating that he would leave that job after one game.
Pull the ripcord?
Take that job. Yeah.
Yeah, because he doesn't like the NFL.
Yeah, after one game.
After one game.
Yeah, maybe.
In a preseason.
I mean, I don't know. I don't like the NFL that much.
is this what it's come to? This is what it's come down to?
No, I'd go after a lot of people say Mike Bone doesn't really know that many people. He's the guy that hired Dan Hawkins and John Embry at Colorado, but he hired Luke Fickell at Ohio State, and I think everybody – or, excuse me, at Cincinnati.
Yeah.
From Ohio State. And I think that I think a lot of people would be okay with that. I'd go after Matt Campbell. I'd lock him in a room and let him do whatever he wanted and let him build the program.
Jeez. Can I apply for that job?
Yeah. He's not going to want to do anything to me.
Oh, man.
I mean, I don't know. Some people might want
to. Oh, gosh.
Petros,
you know, there's a French term where you're, like, so ugly that you come out the other side as attractive.
Yeah.
And that is me.
That's me too, Pops. We're together on that one. We're
That's
sexy.
Why we have the same shoe size.
We're sexy, bro. We're not. We don't have to be pretty. We're sexy.
Get him on Twitter @TheOldP. Petros, we always appreciate it, man. Great stuff. Let's do it again soon.
Pops, you are a beast.
I'm calling USC Oregon State.
All right.
There ought to be some fireworks in about 12 days.
Petros, the voice of the Biebs, by the way.
You got to say something that lets us know that you're thinking of us while you're doing the call. Something,
yeah.
Don't worry.
I don't know. Something that lets Brady and Jonas and I know.
Yeah.
Like, Pops just made the reference.
Hey, that was a great tackle, sideline to sideline.
Like LeVar Arrington?
It reminded me. Of LeVar Arrington.
Of my great friend.
My dear friend.
Yes.
Wearing the number one.
Yes.
Yeah.
In your hearts and in your program.
Yes.
Yeah.
I like that.
Copy that.
You'll have to do that.
I'll deliver it.
Boom. Yes.
Boom. Petros.
Petros, let's do it again soon, man.
Have fun in Nebraska, Brady, or wherever you're going.
We're going to Norman, but yeah.
Get him on Twitter @TheOldP. It is OutKick the Coverage here on Fox Sports Radio. LeVar Arrington, Jonas Knox, Brady Quinn with you here on FSR. Coming up next, there's somebody in the world of sports that is refusing to pay off their debt.
Come on, Jonas.
Listen.
Why are you talking about yourself?
I'm just saying. It's happening, and we'll get into it next year on The Scraps here on FSR.
Mm.
This is OutKick the Coverage.
He's Mike Carmen. I'm Dan Beyer. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week, we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players' rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Carmen and me, Dan Beyer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
OutKick the Coverage here, Fox Sports Radio. LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here on FSR. We will be back on the air tomorrow, 6 a.m. Eastern Time, 3
yes!
o'clock Pacific. Little hump day action for
yes!
LeVar Arrington. His favorite day of the week. A little Bucky Larson hump day for LeVar Arrington here.
I mean, I recall, I don't even know how it came up. I think I got the sound effect from one of my buddies that I used to do the show with in D.C., but it was based off of the Bucky Larson deal. And when I sent you guys the video, I really am going to go home and watch Bucky Larson today, man.
It really is a funny joint.
It won six Razzies, right? It was like viewed as one of the worst movies of all time.
It is funny as hell, Brady. That's all I know. That movie might be horrible, like in ratings or, you know,
whatever,
what people,
right?
It makes you laugh. That's all I know.
No, listen, I've never seen it, but
you should go. I know you don't watch TV though.
Yeah, I don't. Listen, I'm more of a, you know, I like to read books. That's my thing. I like to read books and, you know, do those
What's
sorts
the last
of things.
Book you've read, Jonas?
I don't want to talk about it.
You know, good. Caught him off guard.
Yeah, I don't want
he
to
didn't have one
it.
Prepared
no, I mean,
for
listen,
you.
I mean,
it's because he doesn't read.
Listen, I mean, I don't know. Like,
you don't read, Jonas.
I just, well, listen, you know what I do? I do this. I do that.
What do you do, Jonas?
Roberto shotgunning a beer.
All right, here we go.
Let's go to Danny G, our executive producer, to find out what the hell we've missed so far.
Scrap that intro.
This is the scraps in case you missed that intro. All right, Jake Paul is moving on from the idea of a rematch with Tyron Woodley because Woodley failed to live up to a tattoo bet that the pair made after the first fight. In case you missed it, Paul and Woodley made a gentleman's agreement in the ring after Paul beat Woodley via a split decision back on August 29th. Woodley told him at the time if he got an I Love Jake Paul tattoo somewhere on his body, he would give him a lucrative rematch. But Tyron has not done it. So Paul said yesterday, I'm over it. I'm leaving him in the past. He didn't live up to his bet. He didn't get the tattoo, so the rematch just doesn't make sense anymore.
Well, he asked for a contract. Woodley wanted a contract saying, okay, I want to know for sure whether or not I'm going to get a rematch.
Yeah, Paul said, get the tattoo, then I'll give you the contract.
What the hell is that? Like, no, that's not how it works.
Why do you have an obsession with having a grown man get a tattoo of I love you on your body?
It's weird.
Because he's a YouTube star. That's what they do.
I'm just waiting for them to get into one of these, you know, one of these fights with somebody wants to take their head off. Maybe
like a real one.
Was that guy?
Right.
Yeah. I don't want to say a real one because I do believe some of them have been real, but like – an actual trained boxer.
No. I mean a real – I want a real one.
Jorge Masvidal is another guy that's been thrown
like, go in there with Deontay Wilder.
No, you don't want to do that.
Like, that's that's what you're saying, Brady, right? I want to see you go in there with a dude that is your size, that is a boxer, not an MMA guy that's putting on boxing gloves that if y'all were in the MMA ring, they would choke you out. I want to see you go in there with a real boxer your size.
Yeah. It's not going to happen. I mean, listen,
like a Tyson Fury or.
Well, I mean, he's got like, you know, 75
Anthony
pounds.
Anthony Joshua.
He's got like 65 pounds.
A Ruiz. You know,
like,
I want to see
like
you go in there with Ruiz.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it's a tough
Canelo.
Canelo. Canelo is a possibility, although he's a little bit small.
Go in there with Canelo.
That's a possibility. No, they don't want to do that.
I would love to see him fight Canelo.
He'd put a canoe on their shoulders.
Hey. Ooh, you know what? You know how they make them noises when they punch hard?
Go ahead. Simone.
We'll get to all of your boxing overtime takes in hour 5.
Okay.
All right. Yesterday was all
about Bucky Larson in a box.
It was all about a cat yesterday. Today it's all about a dog.
Uh-oh.
Jonas, I hope this doesn't bring back bad memories for you.
Come on, man.
But a dog stole the show during the women's All-Ireland T20 Cup Cricket semifinal match.
All right.
When it ran out onto the pitch and stole the ball.
Leash and all.
Cameras were rolling during Saturday's game between Breedy and CSNI when the canine darted out onto the pitch and ran off with the ball. The dog has the ball, announcer Heatley Tector could be heard saying. The dog eventually gave the ball back and was led away from the play area and beaten by its owner. No, I made that part up. I think we've retrieved the ball. It may need a clean. I think this has brought COVID regulations to a whole new standard, Tector says in the video that's gone viral. The International Cricket Council celebrated the incident by dubbing the dog named Dazzle its honorary player of the month.
Yeah. Dazzle Hogg was the report that the name of the dog was.
Until it takes a crap in their locker room.
Yeah, Dazzle Hogg.
They got to figure out what to do with it. Yeah, it's all cute. Everybody wants
a
dog.
We don't need no meows. Yeah. We don't need no cats. We need more dogs.
We need more dogs.
Oh, man.
And we need a boxer to fight the
pulse. By the way, can dogs get COVID?
Yeah.
Is that really?
Sure.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's very weird.